More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Over the past week, Lake Effect has offered some suggestions for people who are wishing for books or for games this holiday season. Our auto contributor Mark Savage would not be so bold as to ask Santa for one of those TV commercial cars with a big bow on top, but he does have some wishes for 2015 that he shares with our very own Santa Claus, Dan Harmon.
Well, I kind of have a list in my head here of some things that I'd either like to see or I'd like to see eliminated on cars. So
just for the record, this is not what you would like to have. It's what you would like to see happen in the automotive world.
Yeah, and some of this is what I'd like to have in my car, too, okay. I guess, in that I'd like to have radio buttons that you can actually press to adjust radio stations. And, you know, that would help you guys so if people could actually program these in. And people will say, oh, we've had those for, you know, since the 1950s or so, we've had radio buttons. Well, not so much anymore. Most of the time with touch screens, that's all been eliminated. And sometimes you have to run a dial up and down and play with a center console knob just to find a station. And it's just not as easy as it used to be. And I'm getting to be that old grumpy age, you know, where I want everything to be easier.
Well, I've been on a few test drives with you, the last one being the Mercedes that I think we both liked, but it was almost like you had to pull over and pull out the manual to figure out just how to program the station and get the station you wanted.
Right. And that's what my beef is that it used to be that I at least could find five or six stations. And let's be honest, most of us have four or five stations that we probably listen to with any regularity. Put those in, bing, you can hit the button and away you go. Now you can maybe still do that, but it may take you 5 to 10 minutes to program it. And while I'm unfortunate in some ways because I'm driving a car usually for a week at a time, it's not worth my time and effort to necessarily program all those in. I still think that it diverts people's attention from driving. And heaven knows as we whiz by people who are texting on their phones and stuff that we know that a little more time spent looking out the windshield might be helpful.
Yeah. And I thought that we were – or automakers were over that they were getting back to simplicity for the things that we use the most.
And some have. Okay. I would say I've had a couple of cars recently, Hyundais and Kias, both that they seem to be simplifying the dash a little bit more. And I appreciate that. You know, I think the driver appreciates that. We don't always have a co-pilot, so to speak, who can – you can say, hey, find this channel for me and take 10 minutes to dial it in.
All right.
So that's one of them. And one of these is because I do drive so many different cars. I'd like that there be a standardization of where the gas cap release is because some are next to the seat, some are under the dash, some are on the door. And, yeah, it's pretty embarrassing to come crawling out of your car at the gas station to think, I don't know where to release this thing. And several times I've had to get in and look at an owner's manual to actually find where it's located because a couple of them are really well hidden. You know, I don't want to complain too much because obviously I'm having a good time driving all these different cars.
I wonder what those meetings are like where they, as automotive engineers, have to decide where to put it.
Yeah, I don't have any space there. I can't put it in any of the normal spots. Well, then let's put it – there was one of them. I can't even remember what car it was. It was between the seats and behind the seat. So you had to turn around and lean back and flip this little lever to get the gas cap to open.
Meaning people in the back seat could easily press it.
I think this one maybe it was a two-seater and we didn't have a back seat, but even so, it might have been a Miata, which I love the car,
right.
But that's kind of irritating.
All right.
And more accurate trip computers. Many times you punch the button and it says, I'm getting 25 miles to gallon, and you fill up the tank and you do a little quick math, saying, no, I'm getting 22 miles per gallon. Many are very close within a mile per gallon, but many are off by 2, 3, 4, 5 miles per gallon, I think. What I've tended to notice, and I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but the bigger vehicles that you would like to get better gas mileage, they seem to be a little more optimistic in their figuring. So you may be driving a pickup truck and it says you're getting 21 miles per gallon and you fill up and you're getting 18. So, you know, that's just an accuracy thing and it would certainly make life a little more easy, I guess.
I did have a car that had a trip computer and I thought that it was conservative, that I actually ended up getting better mileage than it was showing, which I actually was kind of glad for that. I'd rather it err in that direction because you could go back and forth between the trip mileage, the instantaneous mileage, and the overall mileage for the car during a lifetime of owning it. So to me, that would be a more important number, frankly, and that should be one that would be more accurate, I would hope.
Right, and some of them have where it will just tell you what you're getting since you started the car. So I'm driving 10 miles and it tells me what I'm getting on this trip. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back and look at the trip meter and it says, you know, for the last 300 miles you've gotten this. And then some of them give you bar charts on the really fancy cars on the big screen in the middle of the dash that will show you, you averaged 22 miles per gallon the last time and 28 the time before that and 26, you know, so it's all over the place. And you'll have to say, well, that was the week I was driving from here to Madison, you know, or something. So you know what it's why it's a little higher.
Well, as an auto writer, do you actually keep track of it with your own paper, pencil, and calculator?
Yes, that's what I do. I try and always to get at least one full fill up, and sometimes two, to see what I get. And then I try and ballpark it. Was I doing most of my driving around town, or was I on the highway a lot? So it's usually a pretty close to a 50-50 mix. But sometimes it's 70-30, or if I'm driving from here to Chicago or Madison or something, that might be 80 or 90% on the highway.
So what's next on your list?
Well, a number of things. Lower car prices, how would that be? I think we'd all like that, especially for the holiday season. I would like to see some lower car prices. They all go up every year, and part of that is because of all the equipment we keep adding to it, and part of it is the safety equipment that we add to the cars all the time. So
backup cameras,
which I love, but I'm sure that added a couple dollars to the bottom line. And going along with that, I like these low gas prices. I think everybody else does right now. I know the world economy may not be exactly what we want, but man, oh man, it's nice to go and pull out a $20 bill and fill up your gas tank and go away.
Wow, this really is a wish list.
Yeah, it's a dream list. You gotta have dreams, especially at the holidays, right?
All right.
And one that I know that you'll agree with is I'd like to see some more unique car styling out there, some bodies that don't look like little rectangular boxes that are going down the road. And, we've seen a few, and I think we all appreciate whether it's a Corvette or a Kia Soul or something that looks at least a little different so that when you drive down the street, you know what it is. Those of us who like cars, I realize there are many people, these are just appliances, and so they might as well just be a little rectangular boxes.
Well, they don't want a statement, right?
Right.
Well, now you've set me off here. Really, nicely done, Mark. But can there be something in between, something in between the sedan where they all look the same? I think you're driving one right now that would fall into that category. Mm-hmm. And then, like, for example, the new BMW i3, which is a interesting car. But, did they go too far? I think they did in this kind of look at me direction. Where is the middle ground? I don't see it.
Well, there's always that argument. And, what would we do right now if somebody came and created a car with fins on it like we had in the 50s? I mean, it seemed awesome at the time, but it has to, of course, reflect the time that you're in. So you can go too far, I suppose, and push the envelope. But hey, if it sells, they'll all be looking like that. And it's kind of like TV shows. If the doctor shows are hot, you're going to see more doctor shows.
Right. Well, at least manufacturers used to have a distinct look within their own make, but now it's bleeding over. There isn't such a thing anymore, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, you used to have, whether it was BMW with the kidney-shaped grills and the and the Mercedes with their square, big grill in the front. That's all great. I mean, and hopefully some of the car makes will do that. But boy, more and more, first of all, you don't really need grills anymore because you don't need the air let in because the cars are perfectly fine without a huge rush of air coming in to cool them down. The air gets in from underneath. It doesn't have to have this big grill. So now you see more and more smooth-nosed cars. So there goes one of the styling cues that you used to have to keep things interesting.
Well, I'm going to chime in here and just say there are two things that I think are missing from modern cars, and not across the board necessarily, but a height-adjustable, comfortable front seat. Not to mention the back seat. I think a lot of manufacturers fall short on that. And the other, and I think it's getting worse, is dashboard design. I think that some of them, especially this Game Boy thing on a lot of cars are putting the screen just kind of plopping it on the dash. I think it looks awful.
Right. That was the Mercedes that I had most recently. The C Series has it just kind of plunked out there. And I'm sure some people probably think that looks really awesome, and some of us maybe who are a little older think, well, that's, you could just put it into the dash and it's just fine.
Well, it looks like an afterthought.
It looks like an afterthought, and I have another friend of mine who's always saying, why, it looks like everything's just bolted on the interior here. Like, why don't they smooth anything out? But again, all these things go through cycles. But I agree with you on the dash. I want my dash to be plain, simple, clean, so that I can see what I'm doing and hit the right buttons and press the right touch screens and so forth. And I think we've gone from one extreme to the other. And now I think, as we mentioned earlier, some of the car makers are starting to realize we've now that we have 75 buttons on the dash, maybe we can get that back down to 35 or so and we'll all be happier.
Okay, well, what's next on your list then?
Well, I could go on all day, and I know we don't have that much time, but how about, what would I like to see in my driveway if somebody were to, get up on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning and look out and there's a big bow on a car? How about a Ferrari California? That would be nice. I wouldn't mind having that. I think that would be fun. I think it's only $202,000. So if anybody in my family is listening right now, it's not like it's out of reach.
All right. Do you have something that you would wish for that's maybe a quarter of that price?
Well, I drove that Jag F-Type convertible this year, and I know they have a coupe also. I could probably live with that. That would be very nice.
Okay. Maybe a third of the price.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's probably down to that 60 range. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably a third, maybe a quarter, depending on how you have everything equipped. And I could go with the coupe maybe instead of the convertible. I mean, in this climate, I can only put the roof down, 3 days a year or something like that?
Okay, I'm going to throw a surprise question at you, which you don't know the answer to this.
Uh-oh.
Or that I was even going to ask you. If you could buy any used car that you have liked in the past, or you thought that, I didn't have a job, when I was 20, what is it that you wish you would have had then?
Oh, boy.
Or, not just that age, but any used car.
Yeah, that is a really, really great question. I guess I would probably go for something a little more exotic, and whether it would be a Ferrari or something like that if I had that sort of money, or maybe an old Jaguar, something like that that just has some style to it. But, I used to love the old XKEs. I thought those were fantastic, and I think this new F-Series kind of our F-Type goes along with that. It has a little bit of that styling to it. So maybe something like that. And then there's the nostalgia factor that you might say, when I was a kid growing up, I had a 71 Duster. I wouldn't mind having that again just to goof around in and drive in, on a weekend or something.
Okay, well, have a good holiday season, Mark. Thanks for coming
Happy holidays to everybody. Thanks.
Thank you.
Lake Effect contributor Mark Savage is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's auto writer and associate publisher for four magazines at Waukesha's Kalmbach Publishing, American Snowmobiler, Classic Toy Trains, Fine Scale Modeler, and Scale Auto Magazine. He spoke with Dan Harmon. For years, all Milwaukee and Chris Conrad wanted for Christmas was a world speed record in his MG Midget. He can finally cross that wish off his list now, however. We'll learn about his place in history when Lake Effect continues on WUWM.